Amen. Amen. All right, if you will, open your Bibles, please, to John chapter 1, beginning in verse 28. John chapter 1, verse 28. Been going through the Gospel of John, seeing what the Lord has to say. I want to get to know the Lord so well that He's not a stranger when I show up in glory and look Him eye to eye and see Him face to face. I want at least the best that I can to know Him. And to know Him, folks, is to love Him. To know Him is to love Him. And the more I know about Him, the deeper in love I fall with Him. He just to consider and think of all that He's done. It's hard for me to even begin to comprehend all that He's done so that we could have this abundant life. And folks, it's gravy. I'm telling you, we've got it made, even with our troubles and trials. Like Brother Keith said, that black preacher talked about, he said, when the devil's got you backed up against the wall, you're at the best place you can be because Jesus is about to slide in behind you and make all kinds of room. And I like that. Man, that's abundant life, boy. You know, this Bible says that all we have to do is submit ourselves, therefore, to God to resist the devil and he flees. You don't have to put up your dukes. You don't have to draw the sword. You don't have to take bruises and batterings or anything else. All you got to do is resist Him. That's it. That's it. And at the presence of Jesus Christ, man, He has got to go. That's an abundant life. That's an abundant life. John chapter 1, verse 28. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, behold, I like that word. Man, I like that. That means you need to wake up, stand up, look up, and pay attention. Amen. That's what it means. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away. Boy, that's a good thing. Which taketh away the sin of the world. This is He of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is God's Son. I thought about that. You know, I thought back in Noah's day, Noah sent out two birds. And one was a dove and one was a raven. And that raven represented the unclean spirit. And the dove represented the Holy Spirit. And you know, the Bible says that he sent the dove out and the dove found no rest for her foot. So she came back. And he waited 7 days and sent the dove out again. And here she come back with an olive branch. And he waited 7 more days and he sent her out and she no more returned. And you know, in my mind and heart, I can see that dove just flying and flying and flying. And one day, here comes the Lamb of God walking. And you know what? The dove found a place for her foot to rest and rested upon him right there. Boy, that's him. All right. Father, thank you for your word. And may you anoint your servant that we may just exalt your name and lift you up. And Lord, thank you for what you've already done so far. May, Lord, this just be the icing on the cake that magnifies and exalts the precious, magnificent Son of God. And in all that's done, we give our thanks to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. John here, brother and sister, is introducing us after we've read through parts of John chapter 1, and he talks about in the beginning and all the things like that. We've seen the fact that Jesus Christ is the Word. We know He is God. John testifies of that. The other Gospels, they don't demean Christ's character or who He is, but John magnifies who He is. John, the other Gospels are called synoptic just simply because they've got the same stories, the same things that happen and go forward. But here in John, boy, I'm telling you, he goes much, much, much deeper than Matthew, Mark, or Luke does, because he doesn't just talk about his earthly beginnings or his earthly ministry. He talks about the fact that he's God. He's Almighty God. And you know, folks, I want to tell you, here he comes, and we get to this place here in verse 28, and we're introduced for the first time to this great man named Jesus. We're introduced here for the very first time. You know, we often, we get so caught up in ourselves and we get so caught up in our lives that we forget who Jesus is. Do you know that? We just forget who he is. We forget, and I don't know how to emphasize this enough without just saying it in the same way again. You forget who he is. You know that? You forget who he is. I'm going to tell you something, brother and sister. When I read in the passage of Scripture, the Bible says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. You know, I think about that. And I think about the different people that are all over the world and their different beliefs and their different ideas, whether they love God or hate God, whether they believe in him or don't. Well, they think that, oh, well, Allah is the same as God. No, he's not the same. He's not the same. Allah's a moon god. He's been worshipped in paganism as a moon god. And you know, one of these days, brother and sister, you know what's going to happen? And you see this in church all the time, and it's just not in church. It's in the lives of us. You see this. Our attention gets distracted. You know, there's going to come a day and an hour when he shows up. This Bible says that every knee will bow and every tongue. You know what's going to happen? Let me tell you what's going to happen. Every individual, everyone will stand to attention before him. That's what they're going to do. They're going to shut their mouths. They're going to put their eyes on him. And whenever he says bow, they're going to collectively bow in front of him, and they will confess in a unified voice, he is Lord to the glory of God. You know why he's able to command that kind of respect? You know why he's able to command that kind of attention? It's because of who he is, and we have forgotten who he is. We try to treat him like the baby still in the manger or the dying Savior on the cross. And he was both of those things, but he's neither of those things now. He's a living, redeeming Savior who is Almighty God. And he has the power to do anything he wants to. He's on your side. No, he's not on your side. You're on his. You're on his side. And brother and sister, I want to tell you, that's the best side to be on. And we get so distracted and we get so misled, and the world crowds in on us, and we get so centered on ourselves and so emotionally entangled with ourselves that we forget that we have one who won the victory. When he came out of that grave, it wasn't somebody helping him. He got up because he couldn't get up. That's who he is. We forget who he is. John's about to introduce us. Behold. Behold. The Lamb of God. That taketh away. You know what this Bible says about that? You know what the Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 10? He says, for it is not possible. It is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. You know all it could do? It could cover it for a little while. It could pardon it for a little while. It could maybe get the place where the sinner was back in fellowship with God for a little while. But there was nothing that could take it away. But I want to tell you something. John says right here in his opening statement, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away whose sins? Mine. Which sins? All of them. All of them. You mean all that I was before I got saved? Yes. All that you were before you got saved. You mean all that I've done since I was saved? Even more so that. All that you've done since you were saved. You know what you can do this morning? You can walk out of this place with a clean slate. You can walk out of this place with a clear heart. You can walk out of this place with a good conscience. You can walk out of this place with a clear vision. You can walk out of this place with a clear voice. You can walk out of this place with joy filling your heart, because the blood of God's Son takes away sin. We've forgotten who He is. We've forgotten who He is. Folks, I want to tell you, behold the Lamb. I get further on in the Bible, and we'll get to this eventually one of these days if the Lord wills. But I get over there in John chapter 19, and He's been beaten, and the Roman soldiers down there has tied Him. I've been in that room. It's cobblestoned. It's solid. It ain't but about 6 or 7 feet tall. I can reach up and touch the ceiling with my hand. There's no windows. There's no light. It's just a room, the Praetorium Hall. And they had a post up made out of these stones that had been laid. And there were iron rings to those posts. And that's where they would bind the prisoners. And they took him and they beat him with a cat of nine tails until the blood was splattering all over the stone walls. And it was coating the stone floor. And yet the Bible says He opened not His mouth. He never uttered a word. I got in that room and the preacher said, "You all can stay in here just a minute if you want to." I couldn't even stay on my feet. I laid down on my face on that place where the Lamb's blood had been shed for such a wicked sinner as I am. And then you know what happens? He dresses him in a robe. He brings him out. And what does Pilate say? "Behold the man." Oh, Pilate, you should have listened to your little wife. She said, "Don't do anything to this man. I have suffered many things and dreams because of him this day." And Pilate, too much political pressure. "Got to keep my job. Got to keep my power. Got to keep," you know what he should have done? He should have said, "Soldiers, come over here." He said, "Get that bunch of Pharisees and Sadducees and put them against the wall and hold swords to them. Get the doctor over here and take care of this man. This man's the Son of God. We need to take care of him." Then he'd get on his knees and said, "Lord, forgive me." That's what he should have done. But that's not what he did. "Behold the man. I'm washing my hands of the blood of this innocent, just person." No, you can't wash him away and dismiss him like that. But people do. Do you know people do? They dismiss him just like that. Do you know why? Because they've forgotten who he is. Well, you know, we've got to have some political clout. No, all we need is Jesus. That's all we need is Jesus. Well, we need things to go right in the election. No. All we need is Jesus. That's all we need. That we've forgotten who He is. We have forgotten who He is. You know, the one who created this world, the one who created all the people. They've been folks ask me a lot of times. Sister Dale asked me this morning. She said, "Now, preacher," she said, "what about this star stuff I've been reading about and everything?" She said, "What about it?" She said, "Is that gonna happen in the east or in the west?" And I thought for a minute, I hadn't thought about that. And I said, "Well, neither place, sister." And she said, "Huh?" And I said, "Well, when I get out at night, I see Mars starts rising out of the east." And they said, "I look over here and in the south is where that's coming up at." And I said, "But that's not the Christmas." I said, "They call it the Christmas star. That's not the Christmas star. If you want to know what the Christmas star was, you need to read your Bible. It was an angel." That's right. It was an angel. It wasn't no shining place up there. Look, he made all that. Did you know that?
Right.
And people say, "Well, I've read all kinds of stuff because I like that stuff." You all know that. You've heard me talk about that before. And somewhere I read is the last time Earth and the Jupiter and Saturn and Neptune, last time all those lines. I think it was like 1222 AD. And they said it hadn't happened. And then I remember all hearing all these preachers preach about, oh, there's been 4 blood moons this year and all that kind of stuff. And I may say, what do you think about that, preacher? I just ignore that stuff.
Right.
You know why? Because this book tells me not to look for a sign.
Right.
You know what he says? He says an evil and adulterous generation seek after a sign.
Yeah.
You know what I'm told to look for? I'm told to listen, not to look, but to listen. I'm not told to look. I'm told to listen for a sound when the trumpet sounds and the voice of the Son of God calls my name and he says, come up hither, brother and sister. That's what I'm looking for. Well, when's that going to happen, preacher? Any minute, and today is the best day I know of. Boy, you get as right as we've gotten this morning. This is the best place to leave out from, ain't it? Right here before you go out there and mess up some more. Right here. Oh, preacher, you think we'll mess up as sure as you walk out of that door. You will. What are you going to need? You're going to need the blood again. You're going to need it again. And you know what's amazing? It's always fresh. It's always living. It's always powerful. It's always available. The blood. Behold, the Lamb of God. We have forgotten, I fear, who He is. Hebrews 10 says, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. That's because it never could. It never could, folks. I tell you, I laid down on that cobblestone floor and all I could do was weep. I couldn't even pray. I did some praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, but I couldn't even do anything there. And you know what I remember reading in Romans? That when I can't pray, that the Holy Spirit prays for me with groanings that cannot be uttered. He knew what the need of my heart was. And folks, you may say, well, I wished I could go to a place. Folks, I don't tell you, the place is not, that's not what's important. It's the person that was there and what he went through. That blood is just as available right here. It's been splattered all over these souls. We've been covered in the power of his blood. That's what it's been. We've forgotten who he is. We have forgotten who he is. And here he comes just walking. He's walking around. I've been over there. That place where John baptized, near Bethabara, that's the same place that Elijah and Elisha crossed when Elijah was taken up by a whirlwind. It was the same place, by the way, that Joshua and the people of Israel came out of the wilderness and crossed the end of the land of Canaan. Same exact spot. Same exact spot. Right where Jesus was baptized, we have been right there. We have stood on the same soil, on the same side of the river that Jesus Christ stood on. And you know what? He was just walking. There was crowds of people there, everybody waiting their turn to be baptized, like there was that day. That day we were there, and there was, I don't know how many tour groups was there. Hundreds and hundreds of people. And they was probably 30 getting baptized at a whack. And they go out there, and their pastors or whoever was with them, they would baptize them. We stood back over there, and you know, in the midst of all that crowd, and in the midst of all that number, here comes the Lord just walking by. Just observing what's going on. No fanfare. No trumpets. No nothing. Just walking by quietly. Walking by. You know what this Bible says? There, John said, there cometh one among you who is preferred before me because he was before me. He says, you won't even know him. You know what I'm afraid of, brother? You know why they didn't know him? The same reason why we can't perceive when he comes by. It's because we've forgotten who he is. And boy, as John got somebody down and brought them back up and they were spitting and sputtering, he just happened to glance up and lo, there he walked. And John's heart leapt in him. How do you know it did? Boy, that's what happened when he was in Elizabeth's womb. Whenever Mary spoke and he heard the sound of her voice, he leapt in her womb and was filled with the Holy Ghost, this Bible says. And Elizabeth began to just praise the Lord. And she said, as soon as the voice of my Lord's mother sounded in my ears, the babe leapt in my womb. the Lord had told John, he said, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and staying, the same as he. You know, John saw that, but when he looked up, there he was. You know what, brother and sister, I want to tell you, that's what happens. That's what happened. That's happened maybe to somebody this morning. You know what happened? Lord, just come walking through here. Kind of real slow. He went right around through these pews. Some of them with people in them. Some of them empty.
Yeah.
Just walking around. Amen. Right through there. And you know what happened? Some people didn't even recognize him. They've forgotten who he is. They've forgotten who he is. And I want to tell you something, folks. The people that needed God, they were looking for somebody. You know what? He's the only help we got.
Amen.
When the knot is at the end of the rope and you're hanging on, not by both hands, but just like that, and you're dangling over the edge of nothing and about to drop down into the darkness of despair, you start looking around for a little hope or a little help. And all of a sudden, here a hand appears out of the darkness. And you can't reach and grab because you can't let go. You don't have the strength. That's okay. You ain't got to have strength.
That's right.
He's reaching for you. And he grabs you right there. How come he's right there? Because he's not dependent on your strength to hold on to him. He's getting a hold of you. And he's going to pull you right straight up out of wherever you're at. And you know why? Behold the Lamb of God. It doesn't matter who we are, what we are, brother and sister. We just don't need to forget who he is. He's described as so many different things. People talk about titles and stuff like that. People got PhDs and stuff, and they've got so many letters after their name, they've about got the whole alphabet there. Yeah, let me tell you about one who's got some real titles that really counts. All right, number one, he's called the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. And you know what the Bible says? That he's a roaring lion. Isaiah 42:13 says, the Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemy. That's what Keith was talking about. That old black preacher said, look, folks, when your back's against the wall, you're in a good place. Oh, no, preacher, I'm not. Yeah, you're in a good place. You know why? Because the Lion of the Tribe of Judah is fixing to slide right in behind you. And when he speaks, whoever the enemy is, they will run from him. That's who he is. He's a roaring lion. He's the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. Joel 3:16 says, the Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. That's who he is. And when he speaks, ain't nothing can do. Ain't nobody can do. You know, the devil, he was tempting Christ there on the Mount of Temptation when he was weaker than he'd ever been as far as physically goes. 40 days and 40 nights without any food or nutrition or anything like that. And what happens? He just sitting there leaning back against the rock. And he's weak and he's tired. And he's been tempted not just three times, but for 40 days he's been tempted. How many temptations? Well, this Bible says in Hebrews that no temptation hath taken you, but such as is common to man. But that God, that's in 1 Corinthians, but that God will with the temptation also provide a way of escape. Do you know why he's able to do that? For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin.
Yeah.
Do you know what sin is, brother and sister? Unbelief.
Right. Yeah.
Do you know that's what keeps most of us from getting the victory? Is unbelief. Harold Seitler preached a message, and the message was, can God provide a table in the wilderness? The answer is, boy, God can.
Yeah.
You know why? Because he brought manna down out of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
He brought quail out of the east. He made a flint rock produce water. God can. God can. It doesn't matter what it is. God can. Why? Because who he is.
Amen.
And we have forgotten who he is. Folks, I want to say, he is a lion. You take out on the Serengeti Plains, when a lion roars, do you know what happened? Every head picks up. Every ear, they just, you know, and they hope it ain't at night. You know, that's how they get them, really. They get them like that. You know what this Bible says? This Bible says that your adversary, the devil, has a roaring lion. He wants to imitate the voice of Christ.
Amen.
Problem is this. See, in John 10, you know what he says? My sheep know my voice. When my lion roars, brother and sister, that's the Calvary coming.
Yeah.
When my lion roars, mm-hmm. that's a sound that I recognize and know. Mm-hmm. When my lion roars, I know the enemy is about to scatter. Whenever that other lion roars, all he's trying to do is make me run. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to back up and get a hold of the mane of my lion.
Yeah.
Just come on. If you think you can take him, just come on. I'm after you. You won't have to get to him before you get to me. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. Don't put up your dukes. Don't jerk out your kung fu. Leave all that stuff at home. Won't do you no good against the devil anyways. The best way to do is submit yourselves, therefore, to God.
Yeah.
In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, he's also called this. He says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name should be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace."
Yeah.
The government. That ought to ease everybody's mind right there. Well, boy, you know the Electoral College votes Monday. And I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if Trump's going to stay president. Oh, God, if Biden goes in, that poor old dementia man, he, and then we're going to have a woman president that's a soldier. Oh, Lord, what are we going to do? Well, I just read to you Isaiah 9:6, where he says the government shall be upon his shoulders.
Yeah.
You know, that's his responsibility, right? You do your civic duty, it's his responsibility. So what if he wants that to happen?
That's right.
If that's what he's chosen to do. He called Nebuchadnezzar a pagan, my servant.
Amen.
Didn't he? Yeah. Do you know what happened whenever old Nebuchadnezzar? You know what? It was God's will. It was God's will to put the people of Israel in captivity, mm-hmm. to destroy a city and a temple that they trusted in more than they trusted in God. They had polluted that thing with all kinds of vileness and sin. When the Lord Jesus Christ shows up, he sees all that stuff. He gets a scourge of cords and he runs them out, doesn't he? Isn't that what he does? And so you know what Nebuchadnezzar's function was? Nebuchadnezzar's function was to take them away from their homeland to help them realize. That's what Jeremiah said. He said, look, the prophecy I'm giving you ain't for something four generations away. He said, it's going to happen in your lifetime. You're the ones who are going to see it, and you're the ones who's going to endure it. And he took them away. You know what happened? You know what old Nebuchadnezzar did? He stirred up something in those people. Like that song we sang, I'm longing for home, for the sun's going down. You know what, brother and sister? Sometimes the Lord has to put things in place to stir your heart up, to set your affections on things above and not upon things of this earth. Wouldn't you rather be home right now? Wouldn't you like to be in the church services going on up there? Wouldn't you like to be around that throne with your hands lifting the air, shouting to the top of your lungs, saying Jesus is Lord, not because you're commanded to, because you want to?
Amen.
I'm longing for home, for the sun's going down. God used Nebuchadnezzar to bring that about. And you know what happened? That cavity went on for 70 years. That's what God said was going to happen. And then God said there's going to be another kingdom and another king called Cyrus, and he's going to finance the rebuilding of my temple and my city. And that's what happened.
Yeah.
May say, what are you saying all that? Because of government. May say, preacher, that's talking about the millennial kingdom. I know that. But I tell you something else. Daniel chapter 5 tells me that it's God who puts upon thrones and kingdoms and oval offices.
Right.
That whom he would that they may accomplish his purpose.
That's right.
I'll tell you, brother and sister, we forget who he is. We forget who he, we just forget. John 6:35, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. So everything you need to sustain your Christianity, it's not going to be found in something else. I've got commentaries. I've got commentaries upon commentaries. I've got downloads on my computer, and it's got so much stuff there wouldn't be no way you could read it all. But I want to tell you something. None of those things are going to help me like getting to know the author.
That's right.
When I know him, he's the bread of life. He is who it is. In Revelation 21, verse 6, he says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. That's who he is. We've forgotten who Jesus is. John says, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And sometimes we forget, folks, he's the beginning of this thing. He's the end of this thing. And you know what? Because you're saved, you're in him. And you know what it means to be in him? That means you were there at the beginning and you'll be there at the end.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what it means to be in Christ. You're in Christ. You're part of his body. This Bible says we are of his flesh and of his bone. And so when John takes us over there and he says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. When you get in Christ, there's where your beginnings are. It's not in the manger. In Bethlehem. It's not in the garden with Adam. It's not back on the plains of Canaan with Abraham and Sarah. My beginnings go further back than that. My beginnings go all the way back before there was any Jew or any Gentile. My beginnings go all the way back to in the beginning was the Word. How come? Because I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. And because he's Alpha and Omega, I don't understand. I pray for that. I was reading a passage through one of the Gospels here as I was reading through again, and I got to the end of it, and it was those two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that they said, well, Jesus had joined himself to them, and he got over there, and he said, what are these? What's all this talk you guys are doing? And they said, what, are you a stranger? Said, have you not heard what's been going on? Said, there was a man, Jesus another, mighty, mighty man, powerful, prophet, did all kinds of miracles. Said, they killed him 3 days ago, and today he said that today he would rise again. And some of our crowd went to the tomb, and he's gone. He's gone. And said, that's what's going on. And the Lord said, oh, slow of heart to believe.
Right.
I told you the sin was unbelief, right? Oh, slow of heart to believe all that the Scriptures said. And the Bible says, then opened he their understanding and started at Moses and went all the way through preaching about himself. And you know, when I got through, I was sitting there in my recliner and tears were just running down my eyes. And it wasn't because of that. I was saying, Lord, open my understanding. I'm so simple, I'm so foolish, I'm so plain, I'm so backward. Lord, if you don't show it to me, I'm not going to get it. If you don't open it up and make it simple and plain so I can grab it and get a hold of it and feast on it and feed on it and it nourish me and take care of me, Lord, I won't be able to get it. Lord, I don't want to have the sin of unbelief. I want you to open my mind and open my heart and pour in what I need. You know why he can? Because he's the beginning and the end of this thing. He's the beginning and the end of this thing. He's God manifest in the flesh. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. In John chapter 8, you know what he was called? He's called the light of the world. And in John chapter 10, you know what he's called? He's called the good shepherd. I'll tell you something, folks. I mean, what do you mean the good shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Everything that a shepherd, everything a sheep needs, the shepherd's responsible for. You understand that? Everything a sheep needs, the shepherd is. You ain't got to get a job. You don't have to worry about, everything a sheep needs, the shepherd provides. He leads to still waters. He leads to green pastures. He restores. He helps. He washes. He protects from the enemy. Jesus Christ is called in John 10, I am the good shepherd that giveth his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I've heard it told many times that of a night a shepherd would build a little corral out of briars and thorns and bushes and brambles, and they would just be one entrance, big enough for the staff to lay across it. And he would inspect every sheep as it went in for the night. Clean out whatever thorns or cuckle burrs or any of them old things that get into a sheep's wool. Get them all cleaned up. Let them go in. And then you know what? He lays down across the entrance. Ain't no enemy going to get in unless they get through the shepherd. And I want to tell you something, brother and sister. We sometimes, and I know we don't do this on purpose. None of us do this on purpose. But sometimes we get so crowded with things. What things? Things. Well, our lives has to consist of things. Yeah, I have to work. Yes, sir. I've got stuff I got to do. I got people I'm responsible for. Yep. Got all that. Got a church I'm responsible for. Yep. Got all that. Got people I'm... Yeah, I know. But sometimes we can get so crowded with things that we forget who we're serving and we forget who He is. I mean, look, folks, He's the God who's put us where we are. Like me and Brother Dave was talking about, we may not particularly like the 20 cities where we're at, but He's still God.
Right.
He is still God. We need to remember who He is. We need to remember who He is. That's John's introduction. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Let's stand to our feet, please. We're just going to bow our heads for a moment in prayer. Not going to have any music or anything. We're just going to... Folks, I just want to... If the Lord's spoken to your heart or you need some help from the Lord or whatever you might need, it doesn't matter. Sometimes we don't mean to do it. Sometimes it just happens. Sometimes it's just the course of life. But sometimes we forget who He is. And if God has spoken to your heart this morning and you need encouragement or you need help or maybe you just need to come and thank Him. Sometimes we forget to do that too. You know that? We forget just to come and thank Him. But whatever the need may be this morning, if you want to come, I know we've probably already had two altar calls, I guess. And that's okay. That's okay. He's Alpha and Omega. Look, we didn't have Sunday school. You're fixing to get out early. You're going to beat all the Methodists, Presbyterians, and other Baptists for the restaurant today. You're going to get... They're going to wonder what happened. Did y'all not have church? Did COVID make you cancel? No. No, the Holy Ghost showed up.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost showed up. So if you need to come and pray, we've got plenty of time to do that. Don't shortchange yourself and don't shortchange the Lord on what He's doing in your heart.